Recently, Supreme Master Ching Hai graciously allowed our association members to gather for an international seminar. It was a joyous occasion as Master and disciples reunited to meditate and pray for peace. During this precious time, Supreme Master Ching Hai also spoke of the teachings of past masters and answered the spiritual questions of our association members. The following is a discussion with Supreme Master Ching Hai with the theme Inner Beauty and Innate Intelligence, which took place on August 20th and 21st, 2008, during the International Seminar.
How are you guys? Everything good?
I love you very much, and I'm very happy that even though I haven't been in Europe all this time, I was always in Taiwan or America, even then, you are still practicing, and that's very good. That means you are sincere, very sincere. You love me because of my teaching. My teaching appeals to you. So, if my teaching appeals to you, that means at least you're up to it. Good level, that's what it means. Anyway, I'm very touched with your devotion and diligence. So you've been growing all by yourself. There are a couple of things that I want to remind you. Everywhere you go, I want you to represent me. Like, you wouldn't do what I wouldn't do. And you treat everyone as you would like to be treated. I mean, you wouldn't kill people, that I know. You're very good. You're vegetarian, that I know. You keep the five precepts, I know that, and that's very good. And you meditate, and it's very good. But there are some common sense we have to consider. Be a good manner person, even in spiritual practice, because that's the way we should be, not because Master say that. You my representative. You do what you think Master would do in a proper way, even here or anywhere. Whatever you do bad, you cannot get anything good out of it. Can you?
Huh?
You won't get nothing being selfish. We only get blessing when we are selfless and noble and consider others before ourselves. Treat everyone similarly, always in a good manner, consideration, love, respect. You like to be a good manner, noble, elegant, pretty? Beauty doesn't always come from the face or the body. Beauty from inside, there are two kinds of beauty. The beauty from inside is always everlasting and always endearing to everybody. So you see all the masters, especially in India or Taiwan, or Chinese, the old time, they have hair all over, they don't shave, they don't wash, their hair long like a hippie, and their hair are up to their feet. And they're wearing not too much clothes, or don't wear at all, or wear very shabby clothes or anything. They don't look like the model that lives in Monaco or something like that, no. But people still flock to their feet and love them, adore them, and die for them even, if they have to. During Prophet Muhammad's time, people had war with whoever in the authority or the religious establishment of that time, because some people were willing to die for the Prophet, and they do it in defense, not because they wanted war. Least of all, the Prophet had never told them to go on war with anybody. But sometimes they want to defend for their children, or their brothers and sisters, their family, when other people like religious zealots or authority figures go and harass them or try to kill them, then they try their best to defend. And in the defense, maybe both sides get hurt, or one side get hurt, or they will die. Not that the Prophet expects them to die for him, or not that he has ever ordered anybody to go out and fight in the war. Just things happen naturally. So what I mean is, we have to be beautiful inside out. I want you to be beautiful everywhere and anytime. So everywhere you go, people will have respect for you. And then whatever you say will have effect. People will listen. If you're acting like anybody else, no matter what kind of good teaching you tell, I don't think people even want to listen. Correct?
Yes.
So, we eat 2 times a day, is it enough or too much or too little?
We had soup today.
You get soup today only?
No, not only soup.
I met a person who doesn't eat much. But sometimes he says he has to eat to sleep. And sometimes it's boring in this world. If you don't sleep, you don't eat. What else to do? That's the thing. We have enough food to eat, actually. You're not taking food away from anyone. It's just that some eat too much. And the meat consumption is the worst. Meat consumption is the one that takes away all things. Water, cereals, and the vegetable protein. 90% of it. So it's taken away a lot of the world resource. Water, 70% of it. So even if we don't shower, we don't brush teeth, it amounts to nothing. Mm-hmm. When they don't stop eating meat, we're going to damage this planet. The resource will be running out. It's already running out. And also a lot of people stockpiling their food also because of worry about the climate change. But before that, the food is already short. 162 million people are hungry worldwide this year alone because of meat diet. Because all the food are fed to the animals, the resource and the land and everything. I can never talk enough about that. It is ridiculous that somebody eats so much and somebody eats little. It's not like if they eat meat and everything healthy and good and happy for them and they could be enjoying forever. It's not. If they keep eating like that, they will also be gone. If the earth gone, finally, no more resource, nothing else to eat them. We all have to be patient and be good manner. If you see neighbor or not, they will just smile. Bonjour. Hello. Guten Tag. Good day, Moit. Good day. Have you just come here today? You come today, but it's all right.
You come today, Moit?
Yes, it's Australian accent. just meditate a lot, then everywhere is beautiful. And you're beautiful.
I have a little question. When we are talking about soya, like alternative of meat, the first question is, the soya is gene modified. People are afraid of it. What we can answer?
Tell them to sign a petition and ask the government to stop the genetic modifying food. There's a law already. I've seen on TV that they forbid it in Europe. They're considering it now even, but I'm not sure. I hope they don't do it. If you don't like it, you tell with the government. Otherwise, the government also doesn't know what you want. So everything has to be done through the people is better.
Huh? Ça va? Vous allez bien? Tout va bien? Bien mangé? Bien dormi? Bien médité? I read many before I pick some for you. One is concerning a servant who loves his prayers. Or another one is about two kinds of intelligence. Which one you like? Okay, all right. If we have time, we do that. All right. So what do we read first now? Servant or intelligence? Yes, there was a story about Nasruddin, the funny saint of the Sufis. One time he was with the king in the royal court, and the king asked him, if you have to choose between money and virtue, what would you choose, Nasruddin? Nasruddin said, I choose money, Your Majesty. So the king said, oh, I'm very, very disappointed with you. Because everybody would have chosen virtues. Everybody would know that virtue is the best for you. And you, of all the people, choose money? He was very indignant. So Nasruddin asked the king, and you, Your Majesty, what would you choose? The king said, of course I choose virtue. So Nasruddin said, that's correct, Your Majesty. We all choose what we don't have. Nasruddin is very poor, everybody knows. He has only one donkey, and sometimes the donkey doesn't even work because he has nothing to eat. So the donkey sometimes went on strike, you know, even. So he couldn't even afford a camel or a horse. Everybody make fun of him because he ride around on donkey. So, of course, he's poor, no? So he needs money. So if he has to choose between a virtue, which he has plenty already, and he choose money, no? The king has a lot of money already. Of course he choose virtue. He could afford to say that. I like that joke so much that I keep telling everybody I know. Now let's come to your dinner. Two kinds of intelligence, the thing that you need. Two kinds of intelligence. This is a poem by Rumi. There are two kinds of intelligence. One, acquired. As a child in school, memorizes facts and concepts from books and from what the teacher says, collecting information from the traditional sciences as well as from the new sciences. With such intelligence, you rise in the world. You get rank ahead or behind others. In regard to your competence in retaining information, you stroll with this intelligence in and out of fields of knowledge, getting away more marks on your preserving tablets. There is another kind of tablet, one already completed and preserved inside you. A spring overflowing is springbok of freshness in the center of the chest. This other intelligence does not turn yellow or stagnate. It's fluid and it doesn't move from outside to inside. Through the conduits of plumbing learning. This second knowing is a fountainhead from within you, moving out. Which intelligence is that? The first one we all know, and we learn from school and teacher and books. The second one, what is that?
Master, is that the true wisdom, the knowledge from within?
The true wisdom.
Is that our real and true self?
You have many names, of course. Any more innovative name for it?
Creativity and intuition.
Intuition, creativity? But that is a byproduct of the wisdom. Once we have this innate intelligence, which is the wisdom, then we have intuition, and we have creativity as well. This is a kind of intellectual debate, and of course it's not very intriguing. You should have known already by the title that the first intelligence is the knowledge gained from books and from social tradition in the classroom, etc., etc. And the second is your wisdom, yes? Your original wisdom, your true knowledge. You're born with it. You're endowed with it. You are it. That's the true wisdom from God. The one that we have to meditate to get it. The one that we need to be initiated in order to awaken again. To explore inside, deeper into our true knowledge. And from this true knowledge, even sometimes we don't go to school, we still know many more things than the people who had a very high diploma. Because the knowledge that we gain from this world is not complete. It's not complete. It's okay just to add two and two, make four. That's it. But for every other thing in the universe, we have to rely on our wisdom in order to know. For example, like when I told you about the 4 or 5 years' time, if we're not doing anything, then we'll be in trouble because the gas will be released from the ocean. And we will be poisoned. It will be in the air. So I already mentioned that. Because if only rising water, you can get a boat, you know, a yacht if you're rich. Or build one like Noah. Or go live in a mountain, etc., etc. Or go in the helicopter and wait. Or have a helicopter that even park on the water. There are airplanes and a helicopter which can land on water. Some people can afford it and they may be able to kind of escape the danger of rising water. But not when we have poisonous gas in the air and all kind. And that was before I know about the scientists' discoveries, say the year 2012. Now we have scientific evidence and support. So that's what it is. So that knowledge doesn't come from my school learning. No school have taught that. And I'm not like a scientist per se that I sit there or I calculate all this weather forecast or I know about all the agriculture or the ocean gas. I don't have time also to sit there and calculate by mathematics and come to that conclusion. I just know that. From insight. And then later on, it turns out that I was correct. And since we have the scientific backup, then we could go out to help, you know, disseminate this kind of information or go to help people. So I have to thank the scientists for this. Because without their backup, I don't know if I can even tell you to go out to distribute flyers about the climate change and all that. Every time they predict something, it did not happen. But I'm telling you why it did not happen either. More enlightened people in the world, more vegetarian people, more compassion, more helping each other, more loving kindness in the world, then this is powerful. It keeps pushing the negative power away, away from the edge, away from harm. And so the more we are doing our program right now, like having Supreme Master Television, broadcasting all the constructive news, and the more you distribute the flyers, more people become vegetarian, then of course, the more stable the planet, weather and safety will be. That's what it is.
Hello, Master. In these 4 months, I have a lot of information that's come through me, the information about sound street vibration from different situations, like if we eat meat or if we are being mean to other people, we create low vibration to others. And I wrote it down, and it become like a little story.
Yes, experience, keep it to yourself. You can tell us one of the story because they're curious, but that's it.
Okay. I write it like in the beginning was the absolute, and in the absolute was nothing. So then from the absolute, there is spirale. From the spirale come out the light and the sound stream, and that was the first vibration. And everything in this universe is based on vibration because we are made from vibration.
But I told you that already at the time of initiation. What's new? Oh, but you realize it yourself.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. It came out like a little story.
In picture?
In picture also. Also in letter.
In English?
Part in English, part in German, because my German is better than English.
Oh, so the universal power knows to write in German for you. Wow. Oh, amazing. What intelligent.
Anytime information can come out, I myself is surprised about this information, and I have fun with it.
Just one of those things that you should know, and you would know. You know, as you practice along, the different information will come to you. Mm. Have fun with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you write book, maybe you won't have any more.
Yeah, I know.
Even I don't always tell everybody about everything. I tell just a little bit what necessary. For example, the communication with animals. I even thought, should I? Yeah, but to save the animals, I did it. In just a small portion, enough for the world to digest.
For me, it's very interesting.
Of course it is interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's not in this world what you know.
Anytime I write something down, I will have confirmation from other author. Also from your lecture.
These things, like the book or the story or the Bible experiences or the Bible script, they came also from other practitioners in the old time. And normally it wasn't for the public. He probably wrote it down just like you wrote down. And after you die, somebody maybe collect it and make it into the story, a Bible or something like that. That's why we know all the information from the old time. Like the Buddha disciple go to which level of heaven, and Jesus went to what heaven and what he knew, and Jesus disciple went to second heaven, hear the trumpet, see the light. I give you like diary, and you write out your experience for yourself so that you know how you progressed. And then if you die and somebody found it and, Oh, she was a saint. My God, why didn't I know that? And then you become a saint. And maybe your story and her story, his story and all that become a big Bible in the future. That's how the Buddha became more known to this day. That's how Jesus or Prophet Muhammad or Guru Nanak or Janus, religious leader, have become more known to the world because of the script. The experience has been written by disciples that has proved their greatness. Otherwise, without the disciples' experiences, nobody know what the Buddha is. How great can he be if nobody know what he did or how his disciple has become enlightened and to what extent. Therefore, it's like that. Yeah.
It was a pleasure to have you with us today for Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned for Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, up next right after Noteworthy News, here on Supreme Master Television. May Providence grace your life with tranquility and divine love.